So I get the privilege of teaching today, and we're in this series called Love Beyond Logic. We're just talking about God's love, how it goes beyond understanding, beyond comprehension, just such an amazing love. And for the next couple of weeks, we're just going to unpack the wonder of God's love. And today I've titled this teaching, The Untouchables. Every society has untouchables, which are people that somehow become lesser people. Unwanted, unworthy. Untouchables are seen as dirty or filthy, unclean, maybe even dangerous or infected. Sometimes it's based on race, status, could be a language barrier, it could be lack of certain privileges like education or access to a shower every day. Maybe it's certain lifestyle choices, maybe it's based on an actual disease or an ailment. Every society has untouchables. And in the first century, when Jesus started his ministry, there was a very clearly established class of untouchables, and that was most obviously the lepers, people with leprosy. They were absolutely untouchable because the Old Testament law was very strict about clean or unclean things, including people, like people with leprosy. And actually, just a few weeks ago, Pastor Dan taught a little bit about clean and unclean things. So if you want, you can catch up on that sermon online, vineyardvr.org. But the basic gist of it is this. If you became unclean by touching something or eating something forbidden, you had to be ceremonially cleansed. Or if you stay unclean, you become a danger to others. If you could touch someone else and they would become unclean. So you became an outcast. You became untouchable. And the Old Testament law was very clear. Do not touch. The Pharisees in particular were incredibly strict about avoiding unclean things. They actually expanded the law. They went beyond the law of Moses and made their own extra rules about lepers. They said if a leper came into your house, your whole house had to be destroyed. Oh, man. Goodbye, mortgage. Burn it down, they would say. There's no Lysol strong enough to erase the touch of a leper. Actually, they didn't have Lysol back then. But they had eggs, and they actually told people you could throw eggs at a leper if you saw them walking by, or stones. They told people to throw stuff at lepers, and that's especially cruel. As we'll talk about later, lepers couldn't feel anything. They couldn't even feel themselves getting pelted with eggs in the back by people who were mocking them. Leprosy was not just this unfortunate disease that was killing people, but people believed that lepers were cursed by God. The Pharisees were teaching that God gave these people leprosy because they were wicked or somehow deserving of this disease. And so not only did people have to deal with this horrible condition, they were judged. They were mocked and looked down on. So we've talked a lot about Pharisees here at the Vineyard, and they are just, they're just pretty crazy. There was actually a group of the Pharisees called they're the bruised and bleeding rabbis, and they committed to never look upon a woman ever again so as to avoid the temptation to lust. And so when they thought a woman was coming around the corner, they would close their eyes and walk around town with their eyes closed, bumping into stuff, hence the title, Bruised and Bleeding Rabbis. So yeah, anyway. So even without the social stigma of leprosy, it was just an incredible physical hardship. It was a horrible way to slowly die. So I just want to explain a little bit about what it's like to have leprosy. It starts with this sense of lethargy, lack of motivation, lack of energy, and then you start to experience pain in your joints, kind of like a lot of serious infections. You have those symptoms. But then you start to notice these discolored patches all over your skin, and then these nodules appear, these sores appear on your face and your hands and your feet, all over your body. And then these sores ulcerate, and they start to smell. And then you have your vocal cords affected, and you start to get this hoarse and raspy voice. And then some people even lost their eyebrows and their eyelashes. So they end up horribly disfigured by this disease. But the greatest damage comes from leprosy taking your sense of touch. You just lose the ability to feel and sense things. It damages their nervous system. Everything becomes numb, and that's why so many lepers are missing extremities, like fingers and toes and even limbs. And it's not that the leprosy takes that away, it just takes their ability to feel and touch. So they don't even realize it when some kind of accident happens and they lose a finger. So many lepers will go to sleep at night and they'll wake up missing another finger because a rat wanted a midnight snack. I mean, it's horrible. It's a nightmare. That's what nightmares are made of. They don't even feel it. They just wake up and more accidents happen as they lose more and more feeling, and it leaves them disfigured. And sadly, there's still a lot of people suffering from leprosy all over the world. There is a treatment for it. A lot of people just don't have access to it. And so thankfully, there are people and organizations who are fighting to help people with leprosy. Leprosymission.org is a good one. So after all this talk about leprosy, if you're suddenly feeling motivated to help people with leprosy, check out leprosymission.org. It's a good organization. The physical ailments of leprosy are terrible. It's awful. But I can imagine that the loneliness of being an outcast is even worse. That's probably the worst part. They're outcasts, they're diseased, they're contaminated, unwanted, untouchable. Those of us who can sense and feel, I think we sometimes take that for granted. I mean, the fact that I can go home and pick up my 8-month-old daughter, Zoe, and squeeze her and hug her and kiss her little pudgy cheeks, I mean, I take that for granted. Touch is very important to us. It's just built into us. Human beings need to be touched. It's actually one of Dr. Gary Chapman's 5 love languages, touch. And that's one of Biz and I's primary love languages. So we're always touching, we're always holding hands. I've got my arm around her. She'll just come up to me and give me a big old hug. I'm like, okay, back to work. And she just won't let go. She loves me. Touch, so important. We even describe intimacy between people using spatial terms like, I'm getting close to this person, or this person has been very distant. We need loving touch in our lives, guys. Babies need to be snuggled. Kids love to be held. They love to sit on your lap or sprawl all over the couch while you're trying to watch a movie. When I come home from work, I open the door and Zoe will look at me and then grin, and I come over to her and she does this. She reaches out her arms to me. And so I pick her up and I hold her and I hug her and I kiss her and I squeeze her and I do Zoe airplane mode with her, and she laughs and giggles and she loves it. And I love her. And she loves me in the way that an 8-month-old can. Like this. Does that look familiar? Does this remind you of anything? The Bible mentions lifting hands in worship to God, and that's a way that we can be childlike before our Heavenly Father, saying, hold me, Daddy. Pick me up, Daddy. Love me. Touch me. Hug me. Be close to me. And guys, that's the true horror of leprosy, is that being an outcast, they can't be held or touched or loved in that way because they're untouchable. And guys, it's just so sad to me. There's just so much brokenness in our world. I mean, we've got diseases like leprosy, and we have issues of racism and other diseases, loneliness, rejection, and sometimes all this just feels so heavy. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move on to the good part of this teaching. There's good news, y'all. I know this cool dude, his name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, and he came to heal and restore and to bring a new kingdom to save us. So we've got the leprosies. They taught that lepers, I'm sorry, the leprosies. We have the Pharisees. I just made a new class of people. The Pharisees taught that the lepers were cursed by God. but that's not what I see when I read the Bible. That's not the God I know from the Bible. The beauty of the gospel message is that God loves us and he wants to save us, not condemn us. And that's why Jesus came, to rescue, to usher in this new kingdom, a new covenant with God, a new era of mercy. Let's take a look at this passage. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's exactly what Jesus does in this passage we're about to look at. It's in Luke 5. Jesus is approached by this very sick man with leprosy who comes and bows before Jesus and says this: "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. If you are willing, you can heal me. If you are willing." Guys, those words are so telling about where this man's heart was at. I mean, this leper had faith. He already believed that Jesus could heal him. The fact that this man thought so little of himself, he thought himself so unworthy, so defiled, so shameful that Jesus wouldn't even want to heal him, that is heartbreaking. And that was the state of things when Jesus began his ministry. So many people were hurting and needing the love of God, and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they were the leading religious authority at the time. They were telling people they were unworthy. But Jesus came to undo that. He came to change the spiritual status quo, to usher in his kingdom, to introduce this new covenant of love and grace, forgiveness and mercy. Hebrews 8:11 says, "When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear." I love this translation. Out of date. Like Windows 95 out of date. Like that nasty yogurt at home in your fridge. Just throw it away. Out of date. The Old Testament law had this strategy of isolation, containment, quarantine. Keep the sick and unclean away from the healthy to prevent more contamination. But guys, the Old Testament wasn't the end game. It was just a stepping stone in a part of God's plan. It was just a bus stop along the way to our final destination. Israel was still waiting for their Savior to bring full restoration. And that Savior is Jesus. So what does Jesus do in response to this man with leprosy? Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Wow. Jesus touched the leper. This is very significant. Jesus healed a lot of people in the Gospels through a lot of different methods. But I think Jesus was making a very clear demonstration here by touching this leper, which was forbidden according to Old Testament law. Jesus touching this man with leprosy was just one of many signs of him bringing a new covenant to our world. This old covenant had a strategy of isolation and quarantine, but the new covenant offers us healing and cleansing. The new covenant takes us towards our final destination, which is full reconciliation with God. John Ortberg is an author, pastor. He describes it like this. He says, "This is God, who after all made the law, breaking his own law for the sake of humanity." I love that. God who made the law, breaking his own law for the sake of humanity. Thank you, Jesus. This is good news, guys. "I am willing, be healed," Jesus said. And this man with leprosy was instantly healed. And that's the power of God. And in doing so, Jesus wasn't defiled. He wasn't made unclean. In this situation, the light cast out the darkness. And in the old covenant, anything that touched something unclean became unclean, but not with Jesus. He's a game changer. Jesus is the cure. He's the antidote. He's like that purifying coal that touched Isaiah's lips when he was in the throne room of heaven. Guys, we don't have to isolate anymore. We don't have to try and contain ourselves. We can actually reach out and touch the untouchables with the power of Jesus. We can share the love of Jesus with anyone, everyone, no matter what their story is, no matter what society says about them. So where are we in this scenario? Do we have untouchables in our life? Are there people that we avoid or look down on? Guys, sometimes it's really subtle, and we can often fool ourselves into thinking that we're actually unbiased and impartial all the time. So it's really important for us to do a heart check today. What's our strategy as Christians? Are we trying to quarantine and contain ourselves away from the danger, or are we sharing the cure? So many of us know, yes, we're called to reach out to everyone around us, no matter what. Jesus said, go and make disciples. But I do think it's normal for us to pause and be a little afraid sometimes. Maybe we don't think of people around us as untouchables, per se, but we might think things like, well, what if they change me? What if I get infected with something? Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. A lot of us are familiar with this passage. How do we reach out into the world without becoming changed by the world? And it's a really important question. And there's actually a Disney Pixar short that answers this question perfectly. And so we're going to watch that in just a minute. It's called Partly Cloudy, and surprisingly, it has this unbelievable parallel with what we're talking about today. Just perfectly explains this concept of untouchables and what to do and how to love them. So let's dim the lights and watch this today. It's about 5 minutes. So in this short, we see all these perfect, cute little baby animals being made by these weird cloud people. That's not really how babies are made, by the way. That's a conversation for another time. Actually, I think John's going to preach on that next week. Just kidding. So off in the corner, we have Gus the Cloud. And he's this dark, disheveled rain cloud. And he makes all the untouchables, all the dangerous animals, all these unwanted, unvalued, not very cute, definitely not fluffy, untouchable animals. And the stork, whose name is Peck, appropriate, is the only one brave enough to try and deliver these dangerous, rowdy animals to their new parents. And this poor guy just gets beat up over and over and over again. And there's a powerful lesson there. Guys, that is one of the risks of reaching out to a world of hurting people, is that sometimes we ourselves will get hurt. There's this phrase you've probably heard, it's become kind of a modern proverb, but hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. There's a lot of people out there who need the love of Jesus, and they're filled with pain and suffering, and if we reach out to them, sometimes it leaks out. Sometimes they lash out. And being followers of Jesus means that we have to be okay with that sometimes. That's what true agape love looks like, being okay with getting hurt sometimes. That's the risk of love. And John Wimber used to say, faith was spelled R-I-S-K. There's a crucial moment in this story that really captures the strategy here. I don't know if you picked up on it, but when Peck the stork gets equipped, right? He gets armor. He's given this new power. Anybody picking up any spiritual parallels here? Awesome. Okay, great. I mean, maybe you're remembering that old armor of God lesson from Sunday school years ago. Maybe Vineyard Kids did it recently. We need to be equipped. The powerful truth here is that if we march into a world full of hurting people just with our own strength, we're going to get mowed down. We're going to get trampled. We're going to lose our resolve. Our focus is going to drift. We will get tired and burnt out. We need to be equipped. We need heavenly power. We need Jesus. The answer is Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. Next time you're in a Bible study and someone asks a question, just raise your hand and say, Jesus, and you'll probably get a piece of candy. Jesus is the answer. He's our Savior, our provider, our hope. And Jesus equips us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be a cure. We can take the cure to this hurting world around us, full of untouchables, full of broken people, darkness, loneliness, pain. But Jesus is the cure. And He's asked us to partner with Him in sharing His gift of life and love with people. We need Jesus. And without Jesus, we just can't do it. I mean, Jesus Himself told us that. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and bear much fruit. And then He drops this whopper on His disciples. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Wow. That's humbling, isn't it? Out of the mouth of Jesus, He gives us this powerful reminder that we can't do things in our own strength, guys. We need the power of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be seeking Jesus daily, reading God's Word, spending time in worship, in prayer, getting equipped, continually seeking God's presence in our lives. D.L. Moody says that we're leaky vessels. I don't know if you've heard that. What that could look like is you come to church Sunday and we worship and we're encouraged and energized and filled with God's presence, His love. But it's like there's holes in our bucket. We just can't hold on to it. It just kind of leaks out. And so by Tuesday, it's all oozed out and we're dry as a bone. And we need a fresh filling from God. We need to seek His presence again. We need to be continually filled with the presence of God, the source of love and life. So let me give us some practical tips for today. Ask God to show you the untouchables in your life. I said before, we're often blind to our own prejudice. We're often unaware of our own bias. And honestly, sometimes that strategy of isolation, it can be really tempting. It's tempting to want to close ourselves off from society, from any danger. And I'm sure a lot of us feel that way with our kids. We want to protect them. We want to quarantine them in a little bubble and keep them safe. Sometimes when I carry Zoe around at church, people say all these nice things like, oh, she's so pretty, and you better watch out, Dad. Those boys are coming knocking. Time to polish the shotgun. I don't own a shotgun, but what I tell people is, well, actually, we're going to send her to a convent to be a nun until she's 40. So that's not going to be a problem, right? No, we're not going to do that. But look, there it is. There's that temptation to isolate, to contain and quarantine, to try and protect ourselves, to stay in a bubble instead of reaching out to a world of hurting people. So let's invite the Holy Spirit today to show us the untouchables in our life. Sometimes we need to ask. John Wimber would often pray this prayer to God. He would say, God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And he said God would almost always answer that question for him. Psalm 139 says it a little differently. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Holy Spirit, show us people we've been avoiding in our lives. Show us the untouchables in our lives so that we can reach out and love them. Number two, be approachable. This is important. One of the big differences between Jesus and the Pharisees was that Jesus was very approachable. All kinds of people ran up to Jesus and He would help them and heal them and teach them. He had compassion on them over and over and over again. In the Bible, we see that. He was so approachable. In Mark 10, a bunch of kids ran up to Jesus And the disciples tried to shoo him away. Be like, hey, this guy's trying to save the universe. We don't have time for that. Get out of here. But Jesus was approachable. It says that Jesus held them and blessed them. So let's ask ourselves today, how approachable are we? How available am I to the people around me? Am I a good listener? Do I actually listen, or do I just give advice and try and fix people's problems? Guys, being a good listener is really underrated. It's something we could all grow in, I think. So let's ask God to help us grow in being approachable. And number three, stay equipped. Continually seek to be filled with the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into everything, every day, every task at work. How are we going to love others if we ourselves are not being filled with God's love? What do we even have to give unless we are receiving from the source of life and love? Let's keep our spiritual wells bursting, like that song we sang this morning. So let's read the Bible, let's spend time with God in prayer and worship. We got to work on that relationship, develop that relationship with God. He longs to hang out with us. Let's all stand together. Prayer teams, you guys can go ahead and come on up. And we're going to worship some more in just a minute. But I want to give an invitation. Our prayer teams are here. If you need prayer about anything, anything today on your heart, please come forward and let our prayer teams pray for you and just invite the Holy Spirit into your situation. During this next song, after dismissal, our prayer teams are going to be here. And one more thing, this has been a very outward-focused teaching. I've been talking a lot about us as the body of Christ going out to touch the untouchables. But I imagine there's some people here right now who feel more like an untouchable. You feel unwanted or unworthy, undesirable for whatever reason. A lot of times we can feel that way, and we need to be touched and reminded that you are loved. So please, if you feel that way today, please come get some prayer. Allow our prayer teams to partner with the Holy Spirit and just let God touch you today with love and peace. Let's worship together.